first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast Show 125.
Is Tony Blair dead?
Tony Blair is dead. He's been eaten by a shark, yeah.
I just sat down at the table and Andy has just said that Tony Blair's dead.
I didn't say anything of the sort.
Why would you spread those rumours, Andy? It's terrible. No, we're obviously talking about a different political figure.
Is Garth Crooks dead yet?
Garth Crooks isn't, no. Inside
I thought
he
you
is.
Were fucking dead until you turned up
Yeah,
today.
Well, fuck speaking sake. Of rising from the dead, Jim Staples is back. Answering that one person on Twitter who asked where he was. So, where have you been, Jim?
Just not doing this.
Yeah, more fulfilling things in life. We've got Jerome here as well.
I've been doing better things in my lunchtime, Mike.
Jerome and Andy. Working. I'm, of course, Mike. Number 125 is actually quite fitting this week. Not like it was when it was show 96 and we were talking about Hillsborough, which was far more fitting, but...
I'm not happy with my entrance. I thought it was going to be built up a little bit more, well, a fanfare.
If more than one person asks where you are on Twitter, then...
Obviously, it's not all about me. I haven't been on a show for a couple of
months. All right, Jim Staples.
Seem to be going okay.
Jim Staples is back.
Although, thank you.
That's enough.
I did notice that a couple of shows were late going out, and there was one.
There's been a few technical problems.
There was a show that didn't really happen as well, wasn't there? Just 10 minutes long and
no lost recordings.
That didn't happen. Oh, well, no lost recordings.
I never really lost the recordings. I just couldn't move up to put.
Oh dear.
No, I think you've done well, Mike.
Thank you.
And I've had some people say to me that you're getting better, which is good. They said you were really, really bad start.
Yeah, well, they've been listening since the start.
Now it's bearable, and they feel you're coming along.
Soon it might be likeable.
Yeah, there's a few of those awkward silences that people don't like, though, so you've got to stop those.
That's these pair.
And that's the awkward silence.
There we go. Boom, boom. Yeah, 125. This week, Rachel Yankee equaled Peter Shilton's
she's
record.
She's been
around for ages, hasn't she? Well, I'll tell you, she's now played 125 times for England women.
Serious question, do you reckon she could have made it in like League Two?
I don't know.
She was bloody good.
I can't say I've seen enough, but you know, there's a lot of female footballers out there who were very good. I remember, was it Mia Hamm, the Yank player that was linked with, what they called? It was one of the Italian teams as well, Perugia. Who had Colonel Gaddafi's...
Their boss was an absolute mentalist.
Yeah, I didn't know. They had Jay Bothroyd and Colonel Gaddafi's son playing for them.
Brazilian Ronaldo's missus was...
She was
Keepy
Uppy World Champion. She had the world record at some point. Rachel Yankee, though...
Because there's nothing against you. You could...
I think there are laws because they're separate.
Yeah. But she made a debut in 1997, scoring against Scotland.
Remember it well. Good goal. Header.
Yeah. There you go. Midfielder, she plays for Arsenal, she started a career there, she's also played for Fulham, Birmingham.
I thought she'd gone somewhere else.
She's had spells in America and France, and she played at the last Olympics. But both her and Peter Shilton will soon be overtaken by Singapore's Daniel Bennett, who is on course to become the most capped English-born player of all time. So, fingers crossed, Daniel. If you'd listened a few weeks ago, Jim, you'd know what we were talking about.
Oh, I know all about Daniel Bennett. Yeah. Gordon's brother.
When I was a kid, whenever we used to play in finals at the end of the season, cup finals, the guy
used
who sponsored.
To play finals.
Well, I did.
Sorry, you got to talk about every season.
Yeah, no, I played for the best. Well, I say played, sat on the bench for the best team of the week. Whitton Albion Juniors. But.
You are Scott Sinclair.
The trophies used to be sponsored by a man called Gordon Bennett. True story.
That is nice.
True story. So, Jim, have you seen anything interesting in football this week? No, not really.
Yes, I have. You remember the albino that we used to follow? What was his name? Perkins. David Perkins. Remember him? Apparently, Barnsley were playing against Crystal Palace. They thought they'd be able to wear the red kit, but they weren't allowed to, so they were going to wear their away kit. Perkins put his hand up and said he was colourblind, so he couldn't...
Why it was?
Yeah, apparently so.
I heard the referee said that it was too close to smoke, it's blue and black striped, but that's a better story, so let's go with that.
Well, that was what was in one of the red tops, so it's probably untrue, but that's what we'll go with that. So
fantastic.
Yeah, colourblind, so he was like, no, I can't... They must have played in their away kit before the start of this season. I reckon he was just on a wind-up. They got a point. That's quite a good point for them as well, too.
Yeah, very good point. But it's always good when a team has to wear another team's away kit.
Yeah, Jules has done it before. We beat Millwall playing in green once in their green away kit.
Jules haven't done much recently, though.
green shirt.
Yeah, green. It was quite a nice kit. And I like the fact that the Barnsley players chucked their shirts, because they actually got them printed out with the names on the back and the proper numbers.
It would have been better if they had the Palace players' names. He wants to be Wilfried Zaha.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So they gave them out at the end of the game, which is quite good. No. If you're a Barnsley fan, that probably
take
me down.
A bit of memorabilia.
Four or five. They're on a bloody good run, though, Barnsley.
I would have loved it if someone from Barnsley had scored and gone to kiss the badge and then realised that maybe they shouldn't.
See, Fick actually said that. He said he wasn't happy about the players going out and not wearing the Barnsley badge, which is fair enough. But
yeah, but no, Jills, anything interesting this week?
Nah, quiet one.
Move on then.
Local boy done good.
Yes, that is very well worth saying. But yeah, Gillingham are the first team in the top five tiers to be promoted. It was just absolutely fantastic to actually have it gone. And Port Vale dropped points last night at home to bottom of the league.
Forever in your shadow.
Forever in our shadow. We actually only now need one win. Or basically, if we match Port Vale's result on Saturday, they need to win all three. We need to lose all three for us to not win the title. So fingers crossed that'll be coming our way. But yeah, you mentioned local boy done good. Not many teams can have their main forward being a childhood supporter of the club. Luckily, bizarrely, Port Vale have got exactly the same in Tom Pope, who scored a lot more than Danny Kedwell.
Yeah.
But it was quite nice to see. If you read his interviews afterwards, he supported the club as a kid, and he's now playing for us. He scores the goal that gets you promoted.
As he comes to the roof.
So again?
Does he come from the youth team?
He never actually played for Gillingham.
He does now.
Yeah, he actually played for... Well, I've played against him many times. Marked him out of the game, obviously. But he played the Manchester City Boys League, which was the local youth league. But he was always really, really good player.
Oh, look, he's just turned off.
There he is.
Puffing and panting.
It would have been good if that was Danny Kedwell.
unfortunately, it's Danny Silver.
Yeah. But no, he never played for Gills before this last season. He went through the non-league circuit.
Talking about Gills.
Do you want us to start talking about Spurs now that you're here?
Bale didn't play this week, so we can't talk
about him.
Fair play to Gillingham. They've been consistent in a league which is really inconsistent.
Yeah, they've been the most consistent out of all of them. I actually hope Port Vale do go up as well, although... As you, on probably my last show a couple of months ago.
Yeah, you were a bit angry.
Yeah, I was a bit angry, but they're not all idiot fans, and I hope they go, because you're bang right, it's a very inconsistent league.
We talk about lower leagues and consistency, inconsistency. League One at the moment, no one wants to win
it's
it at
ridiculous.
All.
I mean,
from a Brentford
Sheffield United losing
Brentford
last night.
Perspective last night. Three,
unbelievable.
I reckon Coventry are going to end up doing it this, right?
Swindon lost. Sheffield United lost and Doncaster lost. So just when it looks like Doncaster are actually going to go off and actually win the league, they lose
Good omens for you playing crew tonight, yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll have a Johnson's Paint Trophy hangover. Yeah, fair play to Crew, actually, winning the first silverware of the year.
Was a stonewall penalty, though, in the first half, wasn't it?
I feel sorry for Ivan Noel. So anyone listening, Ivan Noel, who is one of our listeners every now and then, is a Southend fan and took his son to the game on Sunday and left... probably having to mop up his son's tears.
Yeah. I tell you,
you got him absolutely smashed. we've lost. Let's go.
He did get him a tattoo, though, actually.
Yeah, there is nothing better than Crewe playing at Wembley. When Crewe play at Wembley, it is brilliant, because I was born in Crewe, and you just see all the people from Crewe come down, struggling with the tube system, walking around staring at things. It's fantastic.
So there's nothing better in football than Crewe playing at Wembley.
No, that's my favourite thing in football. I'd get rid of the sport. I'd just watch Crewe people walking around the tube all day. Fine by me.
Record attendance as well. Southend sold nearly 40,000 tickets themselves.
It's about 44,000 something.
Yeah, I think Crewe took about 15,000 or something.
So in the new Wembley, that's the best attendance they've had since the Paint Trophy has been played there. So.
Those numbers don't add up, by the way, because the attendance was 40 something. Apparently, Southend sold 40, Crewe sold 15.
I think we're probably both over-egging it a bit.
Probably.
Luckily, we don't work in finance, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Another North West team to done well this week and earn themselves a title is Chester FC. The Phoenix club that rose when the original Chester City went out of business. Their ownership was absolutely dreadful. Some American moron who really did drive.
When did they win the league?
They won it on Saturday, yeah.
Did they get a tweet from Rio Ferdinand?
I'm not sure. I would like to...
Gillingham did. Rio Ferdinand tweeted...
They'll probably just hand the trophy back then. Winning it.
Jack Wilshere tweeted as well. During the game.
He said, I saw that.
Hashtag
during his game or
C-O-Y-G,
during Jill's game.
Come on you Jills.
Oh, it's because obviously,
Chester, they've now completely missed that, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Chester of
Face for the Gooners, he was actually tweeting Come on the Gooners.
Hilarious. Chester have now won three league titles in 3 years. since their formation. Absolutely fantastic. Really good for the city as well.
Yeah.
They've got a very strong fan base. Michael Owen might go back there and play next season.
Probably
if the owner has his way.
I doubt he will.
Other league winners, Rangers, have won the Scottish Third Division. And if the changes go, they'll still be playing in the bottom tier of Scottish football next year, because it's just going to get expanded, so sucks to be them right now.
Does Mike usually let the rest of you speak? Or is
Mike
lists various achievements from other clubs,
and
we're not allowed to talk.
Jim, I've learnt from you, so that's why I don't let anyone speak.
But no, but hang on, so can we all chip in with our
own football? I was hoping you would, but everyone
saw. Did you watch any football this week, Jay?
Yeah, I do.
I'm just trying to sum up a few of the similar topics, like Bayern Munich winning the league
Jay,
in record time.
Jay was going to talk about
Jim, you can go back away
Jay,
now.
There's no point.
Yeah, Bayern Munich won the league.
Tell us about it.
Record time. Yeah, record
with
time.
With six games to go.
Yeah.
And another German club doing very well, which will now link on to where we can have a bit of discussion. Borussia Dortmund last night.
He's a Villa fan. He probably wants to talk about
we'll
Villa.
We'll talk about Villa in a minute.
We're going straight to Tuesday's games, aren't
we?
Simon Head's going to get a tweet from me, that's for sure.
I love the comment.
We haven't even had a Bayless.
Jim, go and have a Bayless.
Do you want to let someone else speak, Jim?
As long as he's not Coxon, yeah.
All right. Well, look, I love the comment from... We're talking about the Dortmund game against Malaga last night. The owner of Malaga, Sheikh Abdullah Al-Thani...
That's easy for you to say.
Sheikh. He's blamed racism for his side's dramatic Champions League defeat at Dortmund. So he said on Twitter that, "I'm sorry to go out this way, injustice and racism." So he's referring to apparently a dodgy decision for offside, but I don't get the racism
decisions.
Link. But he sounds mad as a fucking box of frogs, doesn't he?
He is.
This is not racism. This is not football, but racism and clear of all. Oh, he's fantastic.
To be honest, he's just a really poor linesman and a shy referee.
I think I might
have
to start following this fella on Twitter.
He sounds like an absolute legend, doesn't he?
He sounds like a laugh.
Anyway, I couldn't believe it when I saw that on BBC website today.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going to have to start following on Twitter. Though.
Well, they'll probably be happy to know that UEFA have suggested banning anyone found guilty of racism for 10 games.
Yeah, I've pulled that one out as
10
well.
Ten games?
Actually, here's the official line on that as well. So,
what a load of bollocks.
10 match ban for racist abuse. Players and officials found guilty of racist behaviour face 10 match ban as part of new plans proposed by UEFA.
Yes.
Yeah, but
fans. Oh, that fans. I was thinking, why the fuck is Dan saying that's a load of
no,
bollocks?
No, I know.
Fans
as well.
There's also something for fans as well. So also...
Something for the fans.
So Gianni Infantino, who is UEFA General Secretary, has gone and said that if supporters are found guilty, then there will be a partial closure of the stadium. So this means the section where offences took place will be closed, and if there's a second offence by the club supporters, there'll be full closure within a minute.
So you're just going to close one section?
Yeah. So the geezer next to you, or 3 yards away, is starting something racist, and you've got to give up your season ticket for it.
I'll tell you something.
If they close a section, you just go and sit in another section.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Not your
no, I'll tell you what, though. If you're a season ticket holder, it's going to stop...
I tell you what, and it will filter out the people who are chanting.
No, but that'll just start causing fights in the crowd in between supporters.
Maybe in the short term, but you might actually filter out the people you don't want in.
Yeah, Sunderland did it.
It makes it a lot more likely to report people who are being racist.
Or to be fair,
you're less likely to do it because if someone gets next to you, you're not going to.
Yeah, but if you were
Dan, can I also point out the main thing around this? And actually, Ollie Hutt, if
he's doing the Danny Welbeck, why are you doing Danny Welbeck?
I'm doing the Danny Welbeck for anyone listening. I've got my hands outstretched. Ollie Hutt talks about this really well today in the Mirror, talking about. You've got to actually find the fans guilty in the first place. Yeah. So the FA failed to actually acknowledge that there was any racist chanting at the San Marino game. So
I get all this, but you're less likely to report the geezer next to you if you think that the entire stand's going to get shut down because you're going to.
I would assume there'd be some sort of leniency if it's reported and stopped during the game rather than it just going on and on.
Yes.
I would assume it would be taken on a case by case basis.
Well, assumption killed the cat.
I think it's
when have you ever been that logical?
Assumption did kill the cat. It was curiosity, but never
mind. Anyway, let's go back to the weekend's games then, Jim.
Are we finished with the Champions League then, Mike?
Hey, if you want to be,
really,
I don't know. Apparently, we've jumped
started
out of time.
Have we? No.
Well, Dortmund, what did you think?
I turned over and I missed the last 4 minutes of extra time.
It was a very unfortunate time.
I missed everything.
I turned over at 1-0 to Real Madrid and turned back over 15 minutes later and it was 3-1.
Yeah, I did as well.
I missed pretty much all the goals.
Two fantastic games.
Yeah, bloody on. Well, Ronaldo scored two, didn't he? So
he scored two.
Tell you what, thank God for my iPad, because I was sat there with a headphone in again for the second night running, watching the football on my iPad while the three girls I live with were sat watching a marathon of fucking Made in Chelsea. I can't bear it.
The cast of Made in Chelsea doing a marathon?
Yeah.
That would be quite good. I'd watch that.
I'd like to see them do a marathon orgy.
A
marathon orgy?
Yeah. What, the cast of Made in Chelsea?
What, all the lads?
if you get the girls in there,
to be honest, if the lads with long hair shooting from behind, you probably can't tell the difference anyway.
I would put it out there. I would sleep with most of the lads from Made in Chelsea if it was just from behind. Okay. Same as I would Peggy Mitchell. I've said that for a long time. Peggy Mitchell from behind, fantastic. Yeah. That's got to be the first time we have awkward silences. That's got to be the first time to stoppage time goal since United, isn't it, in a Champions League game?
I think it is, yeah.
It's got to be.
I'm fairly certain I've read that somewhere as well this morning, but unbelievable.
And in the other game, the old Arsenal player scoring.
Abue.
Yeah.
He didn't get scored, did he?
What a goal.
Cracking goal.
To make up for last week, because he had a terrible game the week before. Both their goals were due to him, basically.
Doesn't really make up for it.
They're going to be one to watch, Galatasaray, though, because when we played him in the future.
Not anymore, though.
Because when we played him in the group stage, they looked...
Watch as they walk off.
All right. They didn't look great.
Schneider, Drogba...
Now they've got Schneider, Drogba, and they've got money to spend.
Emmanuel Boulay.
And their fans are fantastic. At least in the stadium, they are.
ITV commentator.
You're a Leeds fan.
When Ronaldo scored, saying he's silenced the crowd there. No, he hasn't.
They're still getting
They got louder. They're mental. They don't care if they lose. Yeah. Half of them probably thought they won. Half of them don't even know they're at a football game.
They won 3-2 as far as I'm concerned. They won.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it Galatasaray the other year that banned all the male fans from attending, so the crowd was just a load of women and children? One of the big Turkish clubs, it might have been Fenerbahce. And the women and children were just as mental anyway, so it didn't matter.
On just how mental Galatasaray fans are, there was a press office who commented on Galatasaray's chances of qualifying for the next round against Madrid, and they were played down, shall we say. A group of Galatasaray fans, or let's not say they were Galatasaray fans, you know, but one it could just have been hooligans, but they went and
trashed...
Are you
worried they're going to come and get you?
Yeah, I am actually, yeah.
It's not shit. 30 Galatasaray fans have just run into Henry
Hart. I did live in Leeds.
This is like when Stuart said...
It's pretty dangerous. Hang on a minute.
North Korea are rubbish in the World Cup.
They completely trashed the press office.
Where was it? In Turkey?
Yeah.
Like a local sort of...
Mm. Yeah, yeah. They completely...
It would have been more impressive if they travelled across Europe to do it.
Where was it? Well, Switzerland. Yeah. They are mental. But yeah, no. Yeah. Cracking atmosphere. Fair play to them.
Right, well, let's jump back in time now and talk about the weekend. And Jerome, finally, Aston Villa.
Yay.
Another win.
Hey, flying.
Flying.
Europe, here you come.
Yeah, I think, do you know what? To be honest, I think we can, if we, we've got a couple of difficult games, but I think if we can string a few more wins together,
Europe?
We can actually, not Europe, but actually finish in a decent position for our squad.
Ben Turkey's been quality.
And he's been quality, and I heard his contract talk.
They're stalling on it.
They're stalling on it till we're out of relegation. Yeah. That's relegation fight, which I think is fair enough. We need to concentrate on football matters on the pitch.
19 goals, all competitions.
Yeah, and Weimann as well, who scored 12. So them two are really sort of keeping us in there.
Well,
we've dragged a couple of other teams in, or they've dragged themselves in there, I suppose.
Stoke and
Sunderland have been dragged into it as well. So it's going to be a really interesting end of the season, that end of the table. So and an absolute thunder bastard of a goal by Loughton, which should be probably goal of the season.
It was beautiful, wasn't it? I'll take Remy's at the weekend.
The Premiership goal of the season.
Like Remy.
That Remy goal was good.
Look at the technique.
Side foot on the run is a hard technique, but to volley it.
The technique?
A side foot on the run is not as hard as putting your foot through it on the run.
It's a volley on the, like a volley. Like
from, but that you're wrong.
They were both very good goals. But I have to say, the best strike at the weekend actually came from a friend of the show, who myself and Jim have worked with in the past, Jonathan McCauley-Oliver, a big Newcastle United supporter. And he likes a drink, should we say. And he sent me a picture of his kitchen after they scored in the last minute. They scored in the last minute. The first thing that surprised me is there's actually food there. Because he doesn't normally eat things. The second
it's not really food, though, is it? I mean,
well, it's ketchup and stuff. So I suppose you would expect to go with food. But that's his back door, which has a massive crack in a pane of glass, which he kicked in after listening to it on the wireless, as he would call it, and smashed the window through. So we'll post that picture online. I'd say that's dedication, but I think it's more...
It's just stupid.
Yeah, mutilation. But
I bet his missus is chuffed with that.
He doesn't currently live with his missus.
I wonder why.
So let's move on from that. Anything else from the weekend? Catch your eye. Any other performances?
I'll tell you what I liked on Monday night's game. You know,
Oh, yeah.
I wonder why you had brought that up.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, aside from City absolutely dominating the game, I've got Gurn of the Week.
That was a nice
absolutely brilliant, this is.
Hook, line and sinker.
Yeah, in these photos...
Has anyone seen Phil Jones's face when Aguero has made this strike?
Aguero looks like a proper mong as well, though, to be fair to him. If you get a bigger photo of the actual thing, Aguero looks half like... Not as bad as Jones.
Phil Jones could be cast in any horror movie coming up.
I tweeted a picture of him and said, doesn't he look like Sloth? From the Goonies.
Actually, one of our listeners has tweeted us saying that he thinks Clint Hill looks like Phil Jones from the future. They both have those haunted eyes.
He needs to sort his hair out as well. He's not doing himself.
Mate, yeah,
he looks like the guy who plays Crichton from Red Dwarf when he's not covered in all that makeup.
He heads the ball like Crichton sometimes.
Yeah, he did it at the weekend.
So he needs to take some tips from Javier Zanetti.
I thought Jones played quite well on...
Jones played well
at the back end.
It was a good game,
I think, without being a great game. I thought City were much better in the first half. I think you're wrong, Mike.
I thought it was a great game. I thought it played at 100 miles an hour from start to finish. I think it was actually exciting.
Two things for me is, I think it petered out a bit, and I don't think there were enough clear-cut chances for either team.
It wasn't... How a lot of the games
it was
at
fiery,
the top are,
yeah, and I do think a few players
it
could
wasn't
have been
how
sent
a lot
off.
Of the games are at the top of the table like that when you have sort of two teams both scoping each other out for the first 20 minutes, half hour, not really making many moves. They went for hell for leather from the start.
I think
there was one game that was better than the United City game, and that's the Everton Spurs game. Now that was played.
I think that was a great game
from start to finish.
You didn't think that? No, I
thought it was a great goal by Morales.
End to end for 90 minutes.
I don't think that's fair. I think Spurs dominated them really for the majority
of
the game.
Second half, we dominated, but
I thought that was great game.
A lot I'll say on Spurs, but I said that's the problem for us is when you're getting into the last part of the season with your attacking trio, your best attacking trio, out injured.
So well, pretty much your only attacking players apart from Adebayor.
Yeah, it's our first
I thought you were going to lose with the lack of width you had.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's our biggest problem.
Should have signed some strikers then, shouldn't
we? I think I've mentioned that once or twice.
Will Postiga get a game now?
Elder Postiga? Yeah. I hope so.
He's been knocking around for ages and he just hasn't had a proper chance. Yeah.
No, but he's...
Come the Euros, come the World Cup.
Who's
Portugal.
He's banging him in for Portugal.
I think he's back at Porto, isn't he?
Yes,
I think he looks alright last time he played.
Speaking of Porto, both them and Benfica are undefeated in the Portuguese league so far this season.
Really?
Yeah, both of them are undefeated. Benfica are 4 points clear.
Bloody hell.
And they've got to play each other at Porto before the end of the season. So in theory, Porto could win that, still not win the title, but remain undefeated for the second.
I mentioned it before, I've been to Benfica, people say the Scottish football is one-sided.
I was going to say, that signifies a really rubbish league, doesn't it?
Well, I think third place, I can't even remember the name of the team at third place, they are that small. I mean, it's not Sporting Lisbon, it's not Boavista, it's not Braga, it is a tiny little team.
Really? Well, well done then for being third.
Brentford?
Yeah, Brentford it might be, yeah. I think it's Port Vale, and Port Vale are still claiming they're going to win the league, so... you know, we'll have to see on that. Who's seen what Uncle Mario's been up to this week?
Yeah, I have. He's actually going to travel on it.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, I was talking about him on the train.
That was fun. I was absolutely
having
fun.
A cheeky fag in the toilet.
Yeah, but he's also going to travel.
Not like George Michael.
He's picked up an automatic suspension for yellow cards. And when he got his yellow card, he then started having a go.
How many yellow cards has he got? Five already?
Yeah. Then he had a go, I think it's three in Italy.
Okay.
He had a go at the linesman, and he's been given a further two-match ban on top of his one-match suspension for having a go at the linesman as well. So.
God bless him.
You got to love Mario, haven't you?
Did you see after the... I didn't mention it. Well, after the Brazil-Italy game, when they were doing the interviews in the changing room with all the players, he just walked through in just a towel. Everyone else was in their kit.
You sure it was him and not a statue that he had built? Yeah. Someone just carrying a statue in the background.
In just a towel. But yeah, no, he's fucking brilliant.
Talking about another naughty boy in the Italian leagues is Vucinic. Did anyone see his goal celebration?
Well, you know, he did get booked for it.
Yeah, he did. He scored a penalty and then he took his shorts down in celebration because he wanted to take his shirt off but he'd get booked for it. So he got booked. He got booked for taking his shorts. Obviously.
If you're going to do that, you should have done it at the start. Wouldn't you have got like a Ann Summers, like giraffe?
Mr. Crocco.
Just proper though.
Absolutely brilliant. He's a mad man, isn't he? So yeah, so then he's gone and then they
he doesn't
they
look like a footballer.
He scored the winner.
He does not look like a footballer, does he? He just looks like a villain.
He looks like you'd see him smoking in some seedy bar. You offering to kill someone for 50 quid.
But he's quite good at football, which
he's
is
not he's actually quite good. Being linked
at least he's got something to fall back on, though.
This is true. Yeah. I can't believe
that
Ramsey...
What's dripping?
Being a killer.
Oh, right.
But to be honest, said being linked with clubs in England, he is at Juventus, so I'm not sure he needs to move to go to a bigger club.
Aaron Ramsey, is he proper injured? Or is he playing reserves? Or
always.
How do we get to Aaron Ramsey? He's got to have scored at the weekends for Thatcher to pop a club. Please tell me he did.
Well, Thatcher, it's interesting. Have you seen both John Majewski and Dave Whelan have come out saying they should have a minute's silence at the weekend?
It's not going to
happen.
Reading
are playing Liverpool.
Yeah.
Oh my word, they should try and do it.
Well, that's interesting. The Daily Mail reported that they are having a minute's silence, but it turns out it's actually for the Hillsborough victims. Now, I'm wondering whether or not Reading will try and take on this is for the Hillsborough victims and that will cause a load of shit.
What's the anniversary for the Hillsborough?
It's the 24th.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Bloody hell, I caught that last year.
I swear we were talking about it 5 minutes ago.
Well, we were talking about when the inquiry came up.
Yeah.
I remember doing the 24th.
But also, Wigan at the weekend are playing Millwall. That's going to be a really embarrassing minute silence.
And to be fair, Millwall before their game are doing a 1 minute riot. In memory of Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
So
in memory of those injuries.
The referee's going to blow the whistle, they're going to rip up some seats, punch some horses in the face.
It's interesting because Thatcher hated football.
Yes.
Absolutely hated it. She tried
You can understand why she hated it as well, though.
Well, she demonised the fans who obviously were culpable at the time for hooliganism.
They deserved demonising, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, but I think the problem is she ignored the crumbling stadiums and the poor policing.
Yeah.
She covered up Hillsborough.
I think it's quite understandable why she hated football at the time and why football hated her.
It's
a mutual thing. Argentinian Prime Minister. Best mates with the Pope. She called a favourite early, didn't she?
Yeah.
2 weeks later, he's gone. She's gone, sorry.
One day we'll get a female Prime Minister. But anyway, happier news. Real Oviedo, we spoke about a few weeks ago, their fans weekend was last weekend.
Oh yeah.
Sounds like it was absolutely fantastic. They had a massive turnout. They've now...
Is the club part of, like, where the
club,
ownership?
Yeah, basically, if you weren't listening, the club was going out of business. They appealed for people to buy shares. They've had a massive...
celebrities,
players from Barcelona. I think Barcelona themselves actually bought a share in the club.
Wasn't it Iniesta?
Xavi, Michu, Mata. They produced a load
Robbie
of great
King.
Players.
Boyhood
Robbie
fan.
Keane. Yeah, he's always wanted to play for Real Oviedo. But they had their fans weekend. They've dedicated a gate and I think a stand at the stadium to their international fans. They beat Atletico Madrid 2-0.
Ooh, awesome.
Atletico Madrid
B. I was about to say, that's a big win.
I mean, it's great that they got the win. I know a few guys from Hastings went there, and if they can get into some let us know. I went Dan Willett and
I'll tell you
Matt
what,
from Hastings as well.
Chaps, Coventry need the same sort of investment from their fans as the other?
Yeah. Well, this Coventry wasn't coming from Coventry, from Oviedo fans. This was coming Coventry, from the international community.
10 points going to be deducted. They're in all sorts of shit. I mean, they played us at the weekend. I went to the ground, actually. Went to the game. It's actually a really good modern stadium, the Riga Arena. I'm just showing a picture to everyone of how empty it was during the game. So that's when the match had started.
It's a big old stadium, though, mate.
It's 35,000 all
seats. The thing is, like, that stadium is
still so that there, what you can see, is 10,000 fans.
Quite often what they sing is "Take Me Back to Highfield Road," because if they hadn't left there, the problems wouldn't have been.
But
the ground is
absolutely terrible.
It's set up absolutely brilliant. Because
it's such a good stadium.
I've only driven past it.
They've got a hotel on there. I've been to a conference at a hotel. They've got a hotel on there. They've got all the things. But now the situation they're in, and the FIFA Fair Play rules coming in, it's going to affect a team like Coventry. You think, oh, Man City is going to affect their Man United with this training ground deal. It's going to affect Coventry City because they don't own that ground.
Yeah.
So they end up staying there. The only ticket sales and what you get from your ground every other fortnight is how clubs like Brentford and Gillingham.
I feel really sorry for, you know, for the core Coventry fans, who there are not that many of now, but you can just, there's no atmosphere in that
thing.
You can't make an atmosphere when you've only got 10,000 people down in
Man
the stadium.
Man United are trying because they're hiring some acoustics experts to make the atmosphere better. Old Trafford, ridiculously.
But I mean, if Coventry, the best thing for Coventry is actually not going up this season. I've got quite a few mates who are big Coventry fans. If they'd gone up this season, it wouldn't have been the best thing. Hopefully, they'll stay down there. They'll get some proper owners in.
Well, I watched them play at the weekend. There's no way that team's going up.
No, well, even with the ten points back on. Yeah, but they're going to have clear out. The point I'm making is next season, if they don't sort the ground out, then the only thing they've got is the ticket price, is the ticket income. And every other club is going to have the corporate facilities, so that's their only income. Yeah. So if you're looking at the fair play thing, where you've got to be spending within your means, they're going to have literally nothing.
No, they're in real trouble, and it was a bit of a shame, to be honest. But I was impressed with the stadium.
There's apparently a very, very wealthy person that's looking to get the investment in, and he's already said that if he does,
Steve Agrizovich.
Yes, if he does. He's making his money out of plastic surgery. Noses.
Actually, I've got a funny story about driving in.
I'm not finished.
If he does,
then he's going to give someone a place on the floor.
Yeah.
So the fans will actually have a say in what goes on.
No, I wasn't.
What was funny about driving into the Ricoh Arena?
So we drove in, obviously didn't really know where
did
to
did you park
go.
On the pit?
No, we joked about probably being able to, but no, we parked in a Pikey's sort of scrapyard, and they were up.
You parked in Gillingham and walked in there? Very strange.
So it's £7 to park your car, so we stuck it in there, and then we walked into the main car park and they're charging £5.
Bloody hell.
Pikey scum.
Yeah. Well, another club are in trouble, Dunfermline.
If anyone's driving to the Ricohs, don't park with a Pikey.
But there you go, sandbags. But yeah, Dunfermline have also been deducted 15 points in Scotland. They look like the first, I suppose, high-profile Scottish team that are going to go under, but there's a lot that could follow. So we'll keep
Hang
on
the
that.
First high-profile Scottish team to go under?
Well,
Rangers
didn't go under, not properly. They got resurrected. They still have the same history. They are technically
a completely new club.
No.
Oh, I'd love it to... Talk to the Scottish guy in the office. You come up and say that to him.
To be fair, I deal with mostly Rangers fans in my role on the Daily Record, and they consider it a continuation of the
Elfrid.
They would, obviously. Yeah. Well, it's a completely new club.
Well, they've technically have the history of the old club. Technically,
but they went under.
They were going under, yeah.
What do you mean they were going under?
The old business went under, but
Thatcher's going under. Rangers are under.
Next Wednesday. Very deep under. Very, very deep under. But well, maybe we can get a Celtic fan down to discuss it with us. Go on, Jim.
Secondly, I've got a prize, as it's my first show back and probably my only show back. For the listeners. What do you reckon the most expensive, most valued signature in sport is? So Pelé. If you've got a signature, wrong.
Who did you say?
Pelé's the top footballer.
I was going to say, I hope so, because I've got my old man's got his signature in the bathroom. I'll get that.
It's got to be someone
who's
dead.
Pelé is the top
in
footballer.
Sport.
In sport.
Michael Jordan.
Pelé's the top footballer, which is $1,125. Next
one. Are these people that you can get to do the autograph? Or is
all
it
time.
Just anyone?
All time.
Babe Ruth?
No. Shall I tell you?
Go on.
Tiger Woods?
Really?
He doesn't give them out.
He doesn't do autographs. Yeah. So his autograph value is estimated at $2,265.
How many people have got them? Anyone?
Don't know. And then the next one down is boxing legend Muhammad Ali. Autograph value $1,400. And then you've got Pele at $1,100.
So basically Tiger Woods is a prick.
Yeah. And the number one out of everything is Neil Armstrong, Apollo 11 legends, $7,500. Again, somebody just doesn't...
He won't be doing any more now, he's dead.
So Tiger Woods is second. It goes Neil Armstrong, Tiger Woods, then Paul McCartney, then Elizabeth II, and J.K. Rowling as well, isn't there?
She must sign books though and stuff.
Yeah. Apparently not.
Which brings me on to Paul McCartney's autograph more worth money than John Lennon, isn't it?
Mate, just buy some Quorn products. Linda's signature's on there.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to.
The reason I bring it in is because I've got something for you. That is the King's signature.
Eric Cantona's signature.
That is a genuine Eric Cantona signature.
That is fantastic. Where is that from?
That is from
James did it just before he came down.
my cousin lives in Strasbourg, and you might have seen the Eric Cantona advert, the Cronenberg advert.
Yeah.
He was an executive or did something on that. He helped find the set for that advert, so he got the King's autograph.
That's amazing.
For the purposes of the show, yeah, that's for Mike.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. I'll give it you back
and
afterwards.
Secondly, did you know Kit Kats are now doing five-fingered editions?
Bloody hell.
So what I'd like to propose
that's
is...
That's got to encourage people to steal them, hasn't it? Five-fingered discs.
But do you reckon they probably shortened them and just bulked it up?
Oh, yeah.
So my gift to the listeners on my show back is that if someone tweets in, I will send them the fifth finger of my Kit Kat.
What have they got to tweet in?
Not even the whole Kit Kat?
No, I want the four. This was just a bonus.
You're going to send one. So how do they know that you haven't bought a normal Kit Kat and just send them one finger?
I'll take photo evidence.
Send them it in the packet.
Yeah, I'll send them it in the packet, and Mike can take a photo in a minute of us doing.
Yeah.
We can do the Phil Jones around a Kit Kat.
Yeah.
With King Cantona's signature.
Could be our show picture, couldn't it?
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go. So yeah, tweet the podcast, tweet myself. And yeah. I promise I'll send
just
that
a tweet.
Out.
Hashtag I want Jim's finger.
Yeah. Hashtag I want Jim's finger, either to me or to the podcast. First person in, Coxon, get their info.
What's the third bit of paper, Jim?
Are we not even given a competition?
No,
they just need to tweet.
We'll choose by random.
Who are you fucking kidding? No one wants the fifth finger of my fucking Kit Kat anyway.
We'll get someone.
I only got it out because I left it in the envelope when I got Kat and I see
it. You never know. If someone does actually win it and we send it to them, it could be worth something in a couple of years, Tom.
I don't think it's going to be up there with Apollo 11, legend Neil Armstrong signed autograph.
Will you sign the packet?
I'll sign the packet. Jesus, in a minute I'm going to be personally delivering it and blowing them off while I'm there, aren't I?
Well, they want Jim's finger, so give them a bit more.
Yeah.
Another big game tonight.
I'm not talking about
Barca PSG, I'm talking about Brentford trying to capitalise on all of the inconsistency in League One last night.
They got a couple of games in hand, haven't they?
Didn't we already speak about this about half an hour ago?
Yeah. it's such a big game, we need to
mention it again. In all honesty,
PSG, have they got a chance tonight against Barca?
Yes.
They've got to just go for it, haven't they?
They've got a chance. Yeah.
Has it been confirmed whether Messi's going to be fit enough to play or not?
I don't think it's been confirmed.
I don't reckon it will confirm. I reckon he's probably going to be on the bench.
2-2, two each from the first day.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
Barca with
PSG
two away goals.
Just go, because if they go for it, they did in the first half.
Can you imagine?
They've either got to win the game or score two goals, haven't they? Yeah. See, if they go for a goal and they concede, they've still got to score two goals.
Can you imagine the size of Zlatan Ibrahimovic's hard on if he scores the win
at
the last minute?
I would love to see that.
You boys.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Bloody hell. Right, anything else? Any other naughty boys? Because I've got one.
But did you see Lionel Messi on the Japanese game show?
No.
Wow.
I wish I had.
It was Lionel Messi.
Is it a classic Japanese style game?
It was even better.
Not quite, but yeah.
It was Lionel Messi versus robot Japanese goalkeeper. Oh shit, you not. And it was a penalty shootout competition. And
tell me Messi won.
No, he lost.
He lost. He missed the keeper.
I hope he put it wise.
The keeper saved the first two, and he managed to finally net in the third attempt. So we have found out who is better than Lionel Messi, and that is the Japanese robot goalkeeper.
To be fair, since that game though, Japanese robot goalkeeper has been arrested for killing his toaster and feeding it to his dogs.
I heard it was drug abuse.
Yeah.
Sorry, this guy needs to. Yeah. He should be in goal for their international country. He's keeping out Argentina's best player. Then put him in. he'd be better. Then do you remember that guy came over? I think he was Japanese. Kawaguchi, was it?
Yoshikatsu Kawaguchi played at Portsmouth.
Played at Pompey, and yeah. He went somewhere after that. He was rubbish.
He was really good on Championship Manager, though. So he's got something.
He was really good at World Cup. Got a really big reputation. Yeah. Came to Pompey and was rubbish.
Can anyone explain this quote from Ferguson before the Manchester Derby on Monday night? I love it. It was ahead of Monday night's Manchester Derby. Ferguson admits he never watched a replay of last season's 6-1 defeat to City, as he is not into self-flagellation. Now what the fuck does self-flagellation
mean? Are we going to take that harming context? Yourself. Yeah.
Is what?
It's like harming yourself. Whipping yourself would be the traditional.
Ah.
Yeah. Bit of S&M, but with yourself.
Just sounded filthy.
It is filthy in its usual context, yeah.
Absolutely.
The sort of thing you might find Jamie Thigpen doing in a dungeon in Soho, but allegedly.
Jim legged it with a five-finger Kit Kat.
With the Kit Kat and the autograph, and there goes the show photo, so...
What an arsehole.
Let's only hope that he doesn't eat that fifth finger, right?
Oh, well, remember, if you want his finger, you've got to... Hashtag, I want Jim's finger.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's back.
Oh, he's back.
We were just absolutely cursing you.
I just forgot you need a photo of the kick.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Are you finishing up now?
I'm a bit curious. You walked outside, but you're buttoning up your flies. So,
news from over the pond, from our Southern Hemisphere listeners. Aussie fullback Craig Goodwin, who plays for the Jets, has been offered a 2-week trial at Reading. So he might be playing next season. So, good news from the Aussie youngsters coming over the pond. A
couple of other heartbeats. Fred's been released.
Oh, no.
Fred, Simon Colosimo, Matt Thompson and Clint Bolton have all been released.
They've had a clear out, haven't they?
They've had a clear out because they're all high earners, and it paves the way for a marquee signing. Maybe Phil Neville.
Oh, yeah.
That'll get the hearts racing, won't it? But also, John Aloisi's had a 3-match ban for arguing the referee half-time versus Central Coast.
So basically, there's loads of positive news for
it's up about. But yeah. In the
season's still going on.
Since the playoffs, Melbourne Victory beat Perth Glory after extra time. And Brisbane Roar, bit of an upset, knocked Adelaide United out. So now it's Western Sydney versus Brisbane, Central Coast versus Melbourne Victory.
Western Sydney have been absolutely flying. So
In their first season ever.
So did you
mention that the guys at FFDU are now sponsoring a Gillingham cheerleader at all?
Are they sponsoring a cheerleader now?
They've become a player to a cheerleader.
They're sponsoring the Gillingham left back.
Which one? The really ugly one?
No, the semi-attractive. It's very nice.
Sorry, you have to be more specific.
They did a vote. They printed all a load of pictures. They said, right, which one's the fierce? And I think her name's Emily. I'll find out. I've got her on Twitter, so you can tweet.
What are they sponsoring?
I don't really know, actually.
For £5 a month, she gets food and shelter at the kennels. And are you joking, Emily? You're lovely.
I'm sure they might be sending, because they wear little Gillingham outfits, like little tiny Gillingham outfits. So maybe they'll get that sent out as well.
They wear a shirt as if Stuart Hall was wearing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Stuart was one of them.
Yeah, where is
he's at the bar.
Oh, Stuart, you got anything to say? Cheers, Jim. Right, I think that wraps up for the week, so you know what to do. Email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast, complaints to @SimonHead, visit footballpodcast.co.uk, follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast, and remember, if you want the fifth finger, #IWantJim'sFinger. Have a good week, guys.